What a delight it is to be in Wheeling, West Virginia, huh? Did the Mountaineers win yesterday? Oh, man. The Steelers going to win today? Anybody care? I just need to know who are y'all. Where are my Eagles fans? Where are y'all? There's only one of you, right? Where are my Steelers fans? I need to see the rest of y'all. The rest of y'all just don't care, do you? You know, I heard a voice sitting on the front row. I did. I knew why I was to come here. I got on the airplane yesterday. I heard the voice. I did. I got there on the front pew. I heard it again. If you cook brisket, they will come tonight. If you cook brisket, they will come. How many of you are going to be here tonight to eat some brisket? I need to see your hand, huh? We're eating brisket tonight. Have a little nacho, a little something-something to get us over the edge. Get us ready for the week. I pray you'll come back tonight. I believe the Lord has just moved on my heart to share the message I will tonight to be an encouragement to you. And I would ask you to read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 this afternoon. Read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I'll be preaching a message from that text after brisket nachos. And somebody say, God has His priorities in order. All right. But today, what I want to do is I want to share this message with you. And I came to be an encouragement to you. You sweet people don't know that you've been an encouragement to me already. I am an itinerant evangelist. I travel all over the world. And I'll be in Florida next weekend on Friday and Saturday. I'll be in Alabama Sunday and Monday. And it's just that's just my life is traveling. So I'm away from my family much. But I'd love for you to keep up with us. You can go to DannySingleton.org and follow the Facebook and Twitter accounts and you can hang in with us. I'd beg you to pray for us as we're on the road. You guys have been an encouragement to me. I don't know why that folks like y'all are so kind to folks like me. So thank you very much. I'm deeply honored to be here. But I need to know that you do not need a translator today. I'm from Alabama. Everybody say, help him, Jesus. And if you need a translator, there'll be a couple of deep southern colloquialisms in this message. Are you with me? If you heard me, say amen. Now say it with me out loud collectively. I'm hungry. See, in the South, when you're hungry, you got to have a little something-something to get you over the edge. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Well, when you're hungry, you got to have something. See, when my Falcons play the Steelers, I need a little something-something to get me over because I know we're going to lose. So I got to have a little something-something to get me over the edge. And last night, I was in my room. I couldn't wait to get to the hotel. Pastor wanted to fellowship, and I said, kick it, Bubba. Auburn Tigers are on TV. I had to get up there in my room, and y'all left me a basket. I ate the whole thing full of Chex Mix and the peanuts and three apples. I was about... Because I need a little something-something to get me through the Auburn game last night. Are y'all with me? If you understand what I'm saying, say, I need a little something-something. All right, you got to have a little something-something to get you over. And when you're in the woods hunting a deer, if you're with me, you need a little something-something to get you over the edge. If you know what I'm talking about, say, you got to have a little something-something to get you over the edge. And I'm just telling you, I don't know about you, but you can not know Jesus, but if you don't know a Snickers candy bar, you're in a heap of trouble. Are you with me? When I go into a convenience store, I'm going to find me a Snickers. Somebody say, preach, boy, preach. You got to have a little something-something to get you over the hump, huh? You got to have a little something-something. And then, I love me a Zero candy bar. Got any Zero fans out there? Where my Almond Joy, folks, huh? Where my Almond Joy? Yeah, I'm preaching now. But when you got to have a little something-something, name the one thing you can have to get you through it. Are you with me? Because an M&M will get you through anything. An M&M will get you through anything. It'll even get you through this message. Are you with me? But I need to know who I'm talking to. All right? Because you're either one or the other. You're either chocolate M&M or you are peanut M&M. So I need to know who I'm preaching to, Pastor, because as I preach this message, you got to know who you're addressing. So I need all the chocolate M&M people to stand up right now. Where are my chocolate M&Mers right there? I knew there'd be some lost people here today. Because let the redeemed peanut people say amen. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. I'll throw dirt on chocolate M&Ms, get me some peanut M&Ms. Yes, I will, I will, I will. Can I tell you what I want to do today? I want to preach the M&M of the gospel. I want to preach this message today, and I beg God in Jesus' name that you never go into a convenience store, or you never go to a concession stand at a football game. You never go into a grocery store and see a pack of M&Ms the same. And I pray that this object lesson will be imprinted on your mind till Jesus comes. Because this is what I know. On every row, there's somebody that needs a little something-something to get them through. On every row, there's somebody that needs a little something-something to pick them up and get them on, because some of you are about ready to quit. And some of you are tired. And some of you are discouraged and disillusioned. Some of you are even doubting whether or not this whole church thing is real. There might be somebody in the room today that, as we sing, bursting forth up from the grave he rose, there might be somebody here that even doubts that that's a reality. And if you're in this room today and you're that person, I want you to know you're in the safest place in the whole wide world. You are loved here. But we want to tell you that there's a little something-something for you today. And I want you to look at it in John chapter 20. You'll see it on the screen ahead of you, and I want you to read it with me from the same sheet of music. I want you to read it out loud. It's the very next slide you're going to see on the PowerPoint. And as it comes up, what I want you to do is, I know that this is the NIV version of the Bible, and you're probably holding an ESV version, or maybe you're holding a King James or New American Standard, and I promise you that I'm not a heretic, and I promise you that I want you just to trust me on this, and I want you to go back and I want you to study this text in the copy of God's Word of your choice. But right now, if you'd be okay, I would like you just to do this today. Would you do this with me? Just read out loud these two verses, and let it wash over you. Ready? Let's read it together. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There are so many important truths in that particular text. But I want you to know the context of these two simple verses. The reality is, you know that John the Beloved was the great granddaddy of the faith. He was the Billy Graham of the first century. He had made his way back from the Isle of Patmos. Now he's in Jerusalem as an old, old man preparing to die. And he pens these words 60 years after the resurrection of Christ. It's called the Gospel, different from the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because this one has one emphasis. It emphasizes the deity of Christ. And he tells us in John chapter 2 through John chapter 20, the life, the death, and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he gives us the exclamation point of glory, telling us about the glorious resurrection of Christ Jesus. Somebody say, wow. And in just a few days, we're going to hear about the ascension in Acts chapter 1. But right now, he's told us everything there is to tell us. It sounds like John is just done talking. Bubba, I'm old. I ain't got nothing else to say. As a matter of fact, if all the libraries in the world would contain the books, I couldn't write everything about this man Jesus. I don't know what else there is to tell you, except I want to emphasize one simple little word, you Jewish folk. Listen to me very carefully. Thee. The word thee is a definitive article. It points to the one and only. Jesus is what? The Christ. He is the Son of the living God. His death and burial doesn't prove that. But his resurrection does. His resurrection proves that he's not Muhammad. He's not Confucius. He's not Oprah Winfrey. And he's not Danny Singleton. He is the Son of the living God. And the Gospel of John expounds on that simple little truth. You can trust Him. And by, as a matter of fact, if you trust in His name, the nature of His being, the nature of His character, the nature of His essence, you will have life in His name if you'll believe in Him. Everybody say, I did. And if you haven't, maybe today is the day for you. Are you with me? If you're in this room today and you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven when you die, you can know that at the end of the day. As a matter of fact, at the end of this message, I'm going to give an invitation. And I'm going to give a twofold invitation. I'm going to give an invitation to those of you who don't know Christ. I want you to believe in His name and have eternal life. But I'm also going to give an invitation to a grandmama and a granddaddy that trusted Him 50 years ago. I'm going to give an invitation to a child, that little precious little blonde little girl. I'm going to give an invitation to her as well. I'm going to give an invitation to that beautiful young lady there and that ugly man right there. I'm going to give an invitation to every single believer in Christ. Are you with me? I'm going to give you an invitation to come get a little something, something to get you through. I'm going to ask you to snuggle up next and eat an M&M of glory. I'm going to ask God to do something special. You've already heard the gospel. If you're in this room today and you don't know Christ, I'm telling you, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And apart from Him, you have no hope. There is no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're in this room today and you don't know Christ, I'm done talking to you. I've given you everything you need to know. Because I want to talk to those of us that are His disciples. I need to know who you are. Can I ask who you are? Everybody say, do what you're going to do, boy. I really don't need your permission to ask because I'm the preacher. That's what I am. So I'm going to ask you a question. If you are saved and you absolutely know beyond any shadow of a doubt you belong to Christ Jesus, you are the redeemed of God, and you're going to spend eternity in heaven, I want you to let the world know. I want you to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say, amen, I'm saved. Amen. All right? And that was a bunch of folk up in here. So I know that I'm speaking to mostly Christians. And I've already preached in 5 minutes to folks that don't know Christ. So they can't get mad at me for preaching too long because I'm done talking to you. And if you're saved and you get mad because I preach too long, you're living in sin. Because I'm going to preach till I get done to y'all. Because y'all came today to be preached to. Amen. So let's eat us some M&M's. Amen. Look at verse number 1 in John chapter 21. It really does seem like that John is done preaching in John chapter 20. But people call John chapter 21 the gospel of a second chance. Now you're going to think I'm a heretic when I speak right now, but don't think I am, because let me finish the sentence. I'm going to preach a second gospel today. Because the second gospel is really the first gospel. The gospel that saves is the same gospel that sustains. And some of us, it's been a long time. It's been a real long time. And you need a little something, something to sustain you until we're with Him. Somebody's hurting on every row. Somebody's carrying burdens on every row. And I want you to put yourself into this story. Because John's told us the gospel of salvation in the first 20 chapters of John's gospel. And now he speaks right to this second wind, this second breath, this refreshment that we need today. Read with me out loud. Afterward, that's enough. After what? After what? After the life, the death, and the burial. And if you were following Christ and you saw Him on that hillside, naked and laid bare before the world, ripped to ribbons, bleeding from every inch of His body, say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. And then he drew his last breath. And the earth shook and the temple veil was torn. They put him in a tomb. Can I just tell you something right now? That would shake you to your core. Because you've just spent 2 years following this man. You put all your hopes in this man. You thought he was going to deliver you from the bondage of Rome. And now you put everything there is. And after all of that, Jesus appears again to his disciples. Now the language says he appeared again because you know that immediately after the resurrection, they were hiding in closed rooms, locked doors. If you understand that, say amen. And poof, there he is. And then they looked at him, and then somebody tell me what happened. Poof, there he went. Everybody say that. Poof. Just have some fun in church today. It's okay. Y'all don't have fun around here? We're going to have fun today. All right, and then 8 days later, Thomas had heard Peter bragging for 8 days. Bub, I told you not to go to Home Depot. He was here. And then all of a sudden, bless God, I ain't believing diddly unless I put my hands in his side. I ain't believing it. And then 8 days later, somebody tell me what happened. Poof, there he is. And Thomas looked at him, and Thomas didn't need to touch anything. Thomas said, what, children of God? My Lord, my God. Because he is the Christ, the Son of God. And now he sees him. And then somebody tell me what happened. Poof, there he went. And now all these Jews down in Jerusalem, because Passover is over, they made their way back home. And now they're standing by their homeland on the shore of Galilee, this Lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. And it happened this way. Look at the people in the story here. I want you to see this because I don't want you to miss it. Sometimes we read the Word of God and we blow right past the most important things. What's the guy's first name? What's his name? What's his name? Come on, that's not a trick question. Read verse number 2. What's the first guy's name? No, that's not his name. His name is open mouth, insert foot. I want everybody in the room to point at the Peters of this room. Point right now. Point. Point at them right now. Point. Point. Point at them right now. Point. 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 Right at them right now. Are you with me? Open mouth, insert foot. And Peter was a screw up. Every time he said something, he was the wrong thing. Point at that guy again because they need to know you know about him. They're your own to them, all right? How about the next guy? What was his name? No. He's the doubter. He's all confused and doubting. How about the next guy? Nathaniel, he's a cute old good boy. First time he ever met Jesus, he threw Jesus out of the bus. Bless God from Pittsburgh. Ain't nothing good come out of Pittsburgh. First time he ever met Jesus, Nazareth. Ain't nothing good come out of Nazareth. How about the next two guys? They're sweet boys, aren't they? James and John, here's what they did. Hey, Jay, what's up, Jesus? How you doing, baby? Hey, this is my brother, John. My name's James. how about this? We get to heaven. How about I sit on your right hand, my brother sit on your left hand? And what did Jesus say? Shut up. Shut up, you arrogant, prideful, independent thinker, thinking you deserve such a place of honor. You got one guy that's always saying the wrong thing, one guy that's a doubter, one guy that just dismissed Jesus away, one guy that's asking for the seat of honor, the other guy believing he's worthy of it. But don't you ever forget this. If you forget this, you miss the whole point of the message. They are still his disciples. They're still his. And he came back for them because he loves you just the way you are. And then it leaves two unnamed disciples in the room, and I don't know why the Holy Spirit did that. Commentators disagree. Some say it was John Mark. Some say it was Dr. Luke. I don't know who it is, But the Holy Spirit did not let John tell us who they are. And I believe it makes room for me and you to put ourselves in the story. So would you do me a favor? I want you to, not mystically, but emotionally, I want you to put yourself into this story, this afterward moment. And I want you to get into this boat, and I want you to push out a little from the shore, about 100 yards, and I want us to go fishing for fish. If you're listening to me, say, I'll go. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know what you put in my heart to share with these sweet people. And by way of introduction, we're done. And now, Lord, I want you to show us the M&M that you would have us eat today from your word. Thank you, Jesus, for this special moment where we can look into the mirror of your word. And Jesus, please, Jesus, change us today. Speak deep into our hearts. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, may they believe in your name today. But Lord, for the rest of us, show us in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Verse number 3 says this. Read it with me out loud. Here it comes. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. It's really interesting, and I want you to hear me, and I want you not to miss this. Church, please don't miss this. Peter is where he's supposed to be. Because after Passover, every Galilean went back home. And can I tell you this? That right now, today, you're in this room because for some reason your church trusts me. And y'all have gathered together on this day of worship. And your pastor has given me authority to preach into your lives. But I'm going to tell you this. You were asked to come. You were asked to gather together for worship. But also, you're where you were told to be. The Bible tells you to gather together to worship. Do not forsake the assembling together some are in the habit of doing. See, these disciples are where they were supposed to be. But they're also where they were told to be. They were told to be here. Why? Because at the Garden of Gethsemane, somewhere between the upper room and Gethsemane, Jesus said these words, after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. So they are where they're supposed to be, and they are where they are told to be. And I want you to know that in this room today, there's somebody sitting here. It may be somebody on your row. It may be somebody on the row in front of you. It may be somebody on the row behind you. Or maybe the row beside you. I'm telling you in Jesus' name, there's somebody in this room today. You're where you're supposed to be. And you're where you're told to be. But you've come into this place today, and you're waiting upon God to show up in your life. You're right there waiting upon the Lord, and all of a sudden you're going to see yourself in this story. Where is He? Does He not know that I don't have enough money to get to the end of the month? Does He not know I don't have a job? Does He not know that I'm grieving myself to death because my husband died 2 years ago? Does He not know that I'm hurting? God, where is He? I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm where I was told to be. Where is He? I'm just going to go fishing. And there's nothing wrong with Peter going fishing, except in Luke chapter 5, Jesus said, you will no longer fish for fish. You will now be fishers of. So any way you shake this out, Peter is waiting upon the risen Lamb of God. And he got impatient. And he went back doing what he used to do, as opposed to waiting upon the Lord. And you've snuggled into this room today because it's where you're supposed to be. And it's where you're told to be. And all of a sudden you realize that I'm preaching to you because you know you're full of frustration. You're full of discouragement. Does he not know I have cancer? Does he not know I need a job? Does he not know that my daughter's breaking my heart? Does he not know that my grandson has leukemia? and you're grieving, and if you're not careful, you'll go back to doing what you used to do rather than waiting upon Him. And the real tragedy of this is, if you're listening, say, I'm listening. The second you walk away to a guilty distance from God, repeat after me, others will follow you. Because as soon as Peter said, I'm going fishing, what did the other disciples say? We're going with you. And then when they went with you, what happened? They were fruitless. They were unfulfilled. They fished all night long and they didn't catch anything. You will never experience God's best unless you are where you're supposed to be and where you're told to be and patiently waiting upon Him. And they walked away from God's best into a place of their own expertise and their own experiences, and now they're floundering 100 yards from shore. Verse number 4 is maybe the most problematic verse in the Bible. Read verse number 4 with me out loud. Here we go. Ready, set, go. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Now, every commentator will tell you that early in the morning means that daylight has risen. The sun has come up. Now, I know the sun didn't come up. I know the earth has revolved and daylight has broken, right? Dawn has come. But I do not know whether it is raining. I do not know if the wind is howling so bad it's kicking up a mist from the ocean. I don't know if it's foggy. I have no idea. Are you with me? But I do know this, that a little later in the text it tells us that they can see someone standing on the shore. And they did not realize it was Him, and that they're only 100 yards. That's from right here to that house on the other side of the street. We're not talking about a long, long ways. We're talking about 100 yards. And the Bible says they did not realize it was Him. Now, to be fair, one translation says this: they were kept from recognizing Him. Now, if you believe that it is possible that the Holy Spirit could have dropped a shroud down and it would be impossible for them to know it was Jesus, say, that could be. Absolutely could be. But I also know me well enough to know that this could also be true. That I saw Him and just didn't recognize Him. And I'm going to tell you this. I got to get down here close enough to you because I want you to see this. There's somebody here today. You've come into this building and you're carrying so much stuff that we just sang about the resurrected Lord and it didn't move you. We just sang about how wonderful He is in Christ alone. One of my favorite songs of all time. That wonderful Irish writer, Miss Getty, when she wrote the words to that beautiful song, it has marked me forever. And I always am moved emotionally. Why? Because when she starts talking about in Christ alone, I see I got nothing else to lean on except in Christ alone. And it moves me. And you came in here today and none of it moved you. You didn't even realize we're singing about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because you're carrying so much stuff. You're living with so much grief or pain. You don't even realize it's Him. How can that be? Just a few days ago, they were standing in a room and somebody tell me what happened. Poof, there He is. 8 days later, it happened again. And now they're standing on a boat looking at the shore. And James says, I'll be dog, I believe there's somebody up there. Pete said, yeah, sure enough. Who do you think it is? I don't know. Really? Not one person on that boat ever thought to say, poof, there He is. They'd experienced the miraculous manifestation of Christ just days ago. They know He's alive. They put all their hope on Him. And they were grief-stricken. And now they can't see Him. Let me give you an illustration. You know, when you put on some really, 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 really good sunglasses, it takes the blur out, right? Are y'all with me? Those polarized things, and even like night vision goggles. You'd be walking through the night, you can't see diddly. But you put on those night vision goggles, all of a sudden, you see everything. And then maybe you put on those sunglasses, you see something very good. But you put on some of those cheap sunglasses they buy down there at the corner. Sunglasses, 2 for $5. You can't see nothing through that. It's like looking through Coca-Cola bottles. And I'm just telling you, you don't. When sometimes you put on sunglasses, some sunglasses, you just don't see so well. And when you're looking through the sunglasses of discouragement, sometimes you don't see so well. Do you believe these guys might have been discouraged? It's a question. Could they have been discouraged? Could they be putting on the glasses of despair, grieving? Where is He? I thought we were going to be delivered from Rome. Now it's worse. They're going to kill us next. Despair and fear. Can I tell you this? When you look through the lens of discouragement or despair, sometimes you don't see so well. Sometimes when you get disillusioned, you think this is going to happen, but this happens. When expectations and reality don't come together, you get disillusioned and you don't see so well. Can I tell you, somebody in this room today is wearing the lens of discouragement. You're discouraged and you need an M&M. There's somebody in this room right now, you're wearing the glasses of disillusionment or despair. Maybe you're wearing the glasses of doubt. You're just doubting. Is He really sovereign over all things? Can He help me right where I am? But can I give you one more pair of glasses? Say, give me one more pair, bro. Say, give me one more pair, bro. Let me give you one more pair. Sometimes when you put on the glasses of disobedience, I promise you, you don't see so well. When you're at a guilty distance from God, you don't see so well. And He can be in the room as we're praying about in Christ alone, and you don't even know He's in the building because you are living at a guilty distance from God yourself. So church members, I came to preach to you today because He wants to feed you an M&M to give you a little something-something to get over the edge. I love what happens in verse number 4 because I see myself in verse number 4. There's been times I've let my circumstances crowd out the joy of my life. Anybody ever been there? Anybody let the circumstances of life just strangle you to death and you can't even believe that you're going to breathe? I've been there. And these disciples must have felt some of that. And I believe that John chapter 21 is written for us to give us a little more hope for the future. In the middle of our dark days, they don't know what's coming. Jerusalem has not fallen yet to the Babylonians, but that's the coming. They don't know what's coming. They don't know that they're all going to die martyrs' death, but that's coming. It's going to get worse for them until it is perfect for them on the other side. Life is hard. Everybody say it out loud. I don't like that. I don't like it, but life is hard. And they're in the middle of hard. And now they're at a guilty distance from God. And they might be discouraged, might be disillusioned, might be doubting. But if verse number 4 is problematic, verse number 5 is a hallelujah hootenanny. Verse 5, when I read verse 5, somebody needs to get out of your seat and start running the aisles. Are y'all with me? We need to say, woo, glory! All right, let's read verse number 5 together. Ready? He called out to them, stop, that's enough. I'm just telling you. Y'all aren't listening, I can tell. Watch this. Poof, there he is. Poof. Jesus showed up. And they don't even know He's there. They don't know it's Him. And then, somebody tell me what He did. He called out. to them. Not only does He come to you, He calls out to you. And right now, on every row, and Pastor, even in your seat, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you specifically. If you believe the Holy Spirit lives in the life of the believer, say amen. And the Holy Spirit knows your circumstances better than you know them, because the Holy Spirit knows what's coming tomorrow. And He is here, and He's calling out to you. And then, here's another miracle. Not only, poof, here He is, not only does He call out to them, He says these words, children, friends. Y'all need a translator? Bubba. He speaks a term of endearment, a term of passionate friendship. Friends. And I believe it happened like this. I don't know. This is not the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God. I believe it happened like this. How do you think that is? Be dog if I know. Friend. I think the second He said friends, they knew who He was. And then what did He say next? He said, friends. And then what did He say, church? Read it with me out loud. Ready, set, go. It's not what it said. Y'all are misreading it. Y'all must be Alabama fans. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Let's read it again. Ready? Friends. No, that's not what it said. That's not what it said. It says this. If you're listening, say, what it say? Hey, Baba. How's this working for you? How's this working for you? How's your marriage working for you? How's this job working for you? How's this parenting thing working for you? How's this employment thing working for you? How's this Honduras missions thing working for you? How about this discipleship thing that the kids are doing later on in the month? How's that working for you? Are you fishing or are you back over here where you're supposed to be on mission with me? Church, Jesus did not ask for information. He asked for revelation. Jesus already knew they didn't have any fish. He didn't need to ask them to tell Him they didn't have anything. He already knew they didn't have any fish. Church, I want to give you a truth. Please say, tell me, preacher. The privilege of looking at this text is this. Jesus is pursuing you more than you're pursuing Him. Jesus is pursuing you more than you're pursuing Him. And He knows everything about your circumstances. He knows everything about where you're living. He knows all about your pain. He knows all about your joy. He knows all about your hurts. He knows all about your disillusionment. And He's asking you, how's this working for you? And the disciples answered, what did they say? Well, that's not what they said. Here's what they said. Truth. They told Him the truth. Poof! Here He is today. On October the 5th in Wheeling, West Virginia, you came to where you're supposed to be. You came to where you were told to be. You're carrying the burdens of the world. You walk into this place. You don't know, Lord, what is going on? Why is this not working? Why am I not getting help here? Where are you, Lord Jesus? And He shows up and you don't even know He's here. I've got your attention. Every eye is looking at me. Nobody's asleep. That's a miracle. I've got your attention, and the Holy Spirit now has your attention. Because I have no idea what's going on in your life. But He speaks right into your heart. And He says, Baba, how is this working for you? And on the way from Pittsburgh Airport to here last night, you told me some of the things that you're wrestling with. And I would dare not disclose that pain. But Pastor, there's pain on every pew. There's pain on every seat, and you're wrestling. And when Jesus asks you a question, if you're a believer, you only have one response, and that is the truth. How arrogant to lie to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why don't we just tell Him the truth? They did. What would have happened had He lied? What if the disciples had said, well, listen, we caught a bunch, but they got away, and bless God, we have some big ones up in there, and you know, we ain't been trying real hard. You know, what if they'd lied? Somebody tell me what would happen. Poof, there He went. And then let me tell you what would have happened. There would have been a John 22, because Jesus came to restore these disciples that day. He came to breathe into their life, and He was on mission to do that. They had already seen Him. Up from the grave He arose. They saw the risen Lamb of God. They know that He's here now. And He speaks into their life. How's this working for you? And they told Him the truth. Would you please tell Him the truth today? Just tell Him the truth. About whatever He's asking you about. Look at verse number 6. My grandmother has been dead for many, many years. Grandmother Edna. Y'all remember Edna? You don't have that name much anymore. But Grandmama Edna used to say this. Hey, Sonny boy, come over here. And I'd come over here. She'd let me help you. Y'all need a translator? Let me help you. And Grandmama would help me. If you'll tell Him the truth, He will help you. He'll breathe into that big thing, that monumental thing of your life. Because they know they just fished all night long. They didn't catch anything. Jesus said, do it this way. Now read the next phrase. When they did. Tell the person beside you, what does that mean? When they obeyed. What they didn't want to do, what would cost them an hour to do, they just fished all night. They didn't catch anything. Now they got to do it again. That net is larger than this building. It weighs in excess of 1,000 pounds soaking wet. They throw that net out there again and then draw it in. It's going to cost them some more work. We're tired. I'm ready to give up. But when they did what He told them to do after they told Him the truth, after He showed up, they caught a bunch of fish, folks. I'm just telling you. And then, Pastor, verse number 7 is what happens here every Sunday morning. The man that loves Christ the most, the one that loves Him most, your John the Beloved, your pastor, he'll stand in this pulpit every Sunday and he'll preach the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. And you know what he'll say? Let me tell you the title of every message. If you're listening, say, what is it? It's the Lord! It is the Lord! Because He and I are not smart enough to give you something else. That's all we got. My name's not Joel Osteen. I don't know how to manufacture stuff. I don't know how to make up. All I know to tell you, it is the Lord. And when the one who loves Him most says it's the Lord, the Peters of the world grab their coat because they're naked from the waist up. And they jump overboard and they swim upshore doing the Michael Phelps Galilean crawl all the way to the shore. Getting there as fast as they can. As soon as he heard it. I got two questions for you. Why did Peter jump? Can't you hear James? Look at the brown noser. There he goes again. Look at him. That's how Peter is. He's always got to be first. Everybody say, he didn't say that. They were in the presence of the resurrected Lord. They were not poo-pooing somebody's passion. You didn't hear me. They were in the presence of the resurrected Lord. They were not dismissing somebody's passion. And some of us in this room have been guilty of that. We got to take the gospel to the nations. Why? You're poo-pooing somebody's passion. We're called to take the gospel here, there, and everywhere. Don't get in the way. These disciples didn't. Why didn't they jump? I think I know why, but I'm not real sure. Maybe I'll get to heaven, I'll find out why. But I can tell you this, if I were in the boat, I probably wouldn't have jumped either. Because I'm carrying kingfish. I'm carrying the king's fish. They knew they didn't catch those fish. You going to let Jesus' fish get away? They didn't. They couldn't get it in the boat. So the Bible tells us in verses 8, 9, and 10 that they drug the fish on shore. But can I tell you why I think Peter jumped? I'm not sure I'm right on this, but I think I'm right. I may be wrong. But I know, if you're listening, say what? I know I'm not wrong about me. I know I'm not wrong about me. I've done it just this way. In Luke chapter 24, it teaches us, in Luke chapter 24, that the women went to the tomb to anoint his body with burial. They showed up there and he wasn't there. They went back home and they told all the disciples, he is risen. And they said, hush, women. A little later on that day, two Emmaus Road disciples were walking down the road. And they're walking down the road and they got their heads down full of despair and discouragement. And then, poof, there he is. And he walked alongside them and he told them everything that the Bible said about himself all the way through the Old Testament. He gave them the world's greatest Bible conference. And they went into the house and he took the bread and he broke it and he prayed and their eyes were open. And then, poof, there he went. And the two Emmaus Road disciples said, which way did you go? Which way did you go? I tell you what we got to do. Come here, bro. Come on, bro. You know what we got to do? We got to run back to Jerusalem. Let's go. And they ran back to Jerusalem 7 miles. This guy needs oxygen. Help him. And now they get there and they knock on the door and they say, Mary! He's alive! Go ahead.
He's alive.
Dude, that's pitiful. He's alive! And Mary says, yes, we know. He appeared to Peter today. It's the only place in the Bible that that's recorded. When the Emmaus Road disciples came back to the women, he's alive. Yes, we know. He appeared to Peter today. Peter had a one-on-one encounter with Jesus on Easter Sunday morning. Poof, there he is behind closed doors. But Peter's already met with him in private. 8 days later, poof, there he is. But Peter's already met with him probably 9 to 10 days before that. So when those Emmaus Road disciples did all that, you need to know what happened before that. Young John got up and he ran to the tomb. And he outran old man Peter. Running to the tomb. And he gets to the tomb and he says, be dog, Petey ain't here! What did Peter do? Get on your hands and knees. Crawl in. Get up. Now say, I'll be dog being here. Come back out. Now you just bumped your head on the cave. Get up. Showed up here. And then we don't know what happens after this, but what I'm going to tell you is not the inerrant, infallible Word of God. But yes, it is. Because I've read the Bible time and time and time and time and time again. And I know this is how Jesus rolls. The Bible says that, Yes, we know He appeared to Peter today. Peter's here standing looking at the tomb. He's got his head down. He's discouraged. John is gone. But then all of a sudden, I don't know if it happened like this, but I bet it happened something like this. Poof, here he is. Hey, Simon. Yeah, it's me. Yeah, I rose from the dead. Told you, didn't I? Told you I was going to rise up from the dead. You remember when we were going to Gethsemane that night? You said that you were never going to leave me. You said, I don't know about these other bozos, but I'm not going to leave you. You did. Yeah, you did. You remember when that little girl came to you and she started telling you that you're one of them? Pete, what did you do? You cursed me. You denied even knowing me. But I told you I was going to rise from the dead. And I want you to know I love you. I love you with all my heart. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Poof, there he went. Church, listen to me very carefully. I don't know why Peter jumped that day. Are y'all with me? I don't know why he jumped. But can I tell you this? The people that have the most recent forgiveness want more, and they want it right now. So when John the Beloved said, "It's the Lord," Pete grabbed his coat and he jumped. And it went something like this. Come here, Pete. Man, I'm tired. This is hard. Pete, you brought us out here. We ain't caught diddly, baby. It's the Lord! You're drowning, son. Swim! 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 Everybody give him a hand, amen. I'm trying to make you laugh because some of you are crying on the inside. Because for some of you, it's been a long time since you nestled up next to him, because all you're focused on is the monumental, the big M of the M&M. You're focused on the miraculous thing that you can't figure out. You're focused on the majestic things that there's no way for you to navigate. You can't fix cancer. You can't fix joblessness. You can't fix a broken 401k. You can't bring that prodigal homosexual back home to be in a right relationship with God. You can't do it. You're focused on the big, miraculous miracle, but yet you miss the miracle! Poof! Here he is! He's here! You cannot separate the Word of God from the God of the Word! So when the Word of God is preached, you come into the church house every single week and it doesn't move you. Why? Because you're focused on the big, mountainous things of the world. You're trying to eat what the world would give you, as opposed to the sweet nectar of His presence. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 said, "The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they're not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw the fire, reminded them of the judgment of God when Peter was warming his hands over a fire, that He is judge." Church, say, Jesus is judge. He is holy. He hates unrighteousness and sin and wickedness. He came to be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. It reminded me of the judgment of God But then he saw breakfast for one, fish and bread. And it reminded him of the magnificence of God. It reminded them a few days ago, they were on a mountainside putting their hands in an empty basket and feeding 15,000 people with bread and fishes from a little boy's lunch. It reminded them of the magnificence of God. And Jesus said to who? Jesus said to who? All of them. Bring me some of the fish you have caught. Look at verse number 11. Who went and got the fish? Peter did what seven men couldn't do. It's another miracle. By the way, where did the hibachi grill come from? Just saying. Where did the charcoal come from? I'm just saying. Where did Jesus' breakfast come from? There are miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in this thing because, poof, there he is. And Simon Peter went on the shore, dragged the fish. It's full of large fish. And I came here today to tell you, take your eyes off the big M of your life. Can I tell you what the big M of your life is? If you're listening, say, tell me what it is. It's a two-letter word. Starts with M and ends with E. Did you hear me? Take your eyes off of me and put your eyes on the moment with Christ. Today I'm telling you in Jesus' name, this is not going to be hocus pocus. It's not going to be hair obscurum. I'm not going to try to trick you or coerce from you. I'm just telling you, some of you need the sweetest M&M of glory. You need a moment with Christ so that He can do for them, for you, what He did for them. Come and have breakfast with me. Let me feed you. You don't know what's coming. He had already restored Peter in private. Now, in the verses after this, He's going to restore Peter in public. He's placing him back in the position of authority. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. That is a progressive nature. Take care of the little ones. Then take care of the big ones. And then feed them all. He put him back in a position of authority. Why? Because in this moment, Peter was restored. He breathed on him. And can I tell you this? If you're listening, say, what do you see? When you're in the presence of God, it'll shut your mouth. You won't dare ask anything of Him. You'll just want to glean from Him. No one asked a word. Why? Because they knew it was the Lord. Church, I want to tell you, He's here. He's here. And in just a moment, Pastor is going to be standing right here. Are y'all with me? Everybody say, where's Preacher going to be standing? He's going to be standing right here. Let me tell you why He's standing here. Are y'all with me? If you're listening, say, why? Because He's standing here for the person that's in this room that you do not know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Remember, I told you 35, 40 minutes ago, I wasn't talking to you anymore. Now I am. Pastor's going to be standing right here because if you need to be saved, you need to get out of your seat. You need to swim up on this shore and you need to talk to this pastor. Maybe you need to join this church. Are you with me? Can I tell you this? If you're listening, say, tell me. Maybe you're in this church and you have never been baptized by immersion. You're trying to do it your own way. You need to be baptized by immersion. If you've been saved, you've never been baptized, you need to come see this pastor. If you need to join this church, you need to come see this pastor. If you need to be saved to meet Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you need to come see this pastor. Am I clear? Everybody got it? Salvation, church membership, baptism. Come see the pastor. Everybody say it with me out loud. Salvation, membership, baptism. One more time. Salvation, membership, baptism. Come see the pastor. Y'all with me? But we're going to do something before that because those people need to be encouraged. Because now I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to the whole church. In just a minute, I'm going to walk up here and get in the boat. Are y'all with me? I'm going to go up here and get in the boat. And when I get in the boat, I'm going to say four words. It is the Lord. And when I say it's the Lord, that's going to be your cue. Because the Holy Spirit's been talking to you. And you need to eat the sweetest candy of glory. You need a moment with Him. You're discouraged. You're frustrated. An elder leaves the church. What are we going to do? Are y'all with me? How are we going to make budget? What's going to happen in my life? You need a moment with Him. Maybe you're grieving. My mother is. She's in Austin, Texas right now. She'll put on the Happy Plastic Fantastic. And I guarantee you this morning she's high-fived every person in the building. At 80 years old, she's walked around the church. Hey, how you doing? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Then she'll go eat lunch at the retirement home. And then she'll go to her room and she'll cry the rest of the afternoon. Because she's missing her husband of 60 years. And she's just waiting to die. She's grieving herself to death. She's trying to fake it while she's not making it. And I tell you this, on every row there's people that are hurting. Are y'all with me? So I'm going to walk over here. I'm going to get in the boat. And I'm going to say it's the Lord. And when I say it's the Lord, I'm going to say it with pathos. I'm going to say it with passion. Just the way John the Baptist said it. And when I said that, you know that on that boat that day, every head was up. Every eye was open. Nobody bowed their head. Nobody closed their eyes. But when John said, it's the Lord, Peter jumped out of his boat and he swam up on shore to spend time with Jesus. If you heard me say, I heard you. So when I say it's the Lord, it's only for the people that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you need a moment with Him, raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. You know you need a moment with Him. Raise your hand right now. Anybody? 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 Church, listen to me. Don't lie! Tell the truth! If you need a moment with Him, raise your hand right now. Right now. Right now. You can drop your hands now. See, we have a tendency to lie. He's King. This moment's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about this church. It's about you and Christ. So when I speak those words in a moment, you're going to jump out of your seat and you're going to come spend some time with Him. Why? Because you need to be nestled up next to Him and let Him feed you. It's the Lord! It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's awkward, isn't it? It's not easy. It feels strange. It's the Lord. Nobody needs to know. Peter didn't ask permission to jump. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Everybody else stand with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, as this moment of prayer, they're going to sing a song or play a song just softly right now. And as they do that, pastor's going to take his place. And Lord, if there's one person on the sound of my voice that needs to know You, there's one couple in this church that needs to join this church, there's somebody here who needs to be baptized, they're going to come see the pastor and he's going to help them. But God, right now, in Jesus' name, as every person is standing, we know You are here. We thank You for the miracles of life, and we thank You for the mountains of life. But right now, Lord, we bless You for this moment. Jesus, help us to experience You today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, You've got permission to come to the altar right now. Anybody? Come on. Come on. I know it's late. Come on. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't miss this moment. Don't let Him disappear from you right now. Don't let Him go poof and leave you. He's here for you. He's here for you. He's here for you. He's here for you. Dear Lady, pray and play and pray. And Pastor, you close us when you're done.